Praise the Lord. John's Gospel, chapter 12. The Gospel of John, chapter 12. We read in this chapter last Sunday. We're going to read again, but we're not going to read all the same verses. John chapter 12, beginning with verse number 12. Amen. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees, went forth to meet him, and cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt." These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come, the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, how will my Father honor? Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Glorify thy name. This is the familiar story, the account that's given concerning Christ, what we call his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Remember that Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus set his face like a flint. It's a description of his determination to do the will of the Father. He knew what was before him. He knew the suffering. He knew what was going to happen in that week. And then as the time of his trial and betrayal and all that happened during his crucifixion and the sufferings that he endured, he knew all of that was ahead for him. But he set his face like a flint, determined to do the will of the Father. I think it's significant that these groups of people that gathered, the Jews were gathering there that day. It says many of them gathered because they had heard that he had brought Lazarus out of the grave. And so the crowds were coming to see this man who could raise the dead. So there was curiosity in the hearts of a lot of the people that gathered that day and welcoming him to come into the city of Jerusalem. But there was also a group of people there that doesn't get much of attention in this text. And you've probably read it a lot of times, but not paid all that much attention to verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Those that came and also were drawn, these were Gentiles who were drawn to the message of Jesus. And there was this attraction to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And even these Greeks came to him. They came to Philip, and then Philip went to Andrew, and they both went to Jesus. And these disciples Philip and Andrew, they were always bringing people to Jesus. Always bringing people to Jesus. And so they brought this group of Greeks to his attention. They want to see you. It says, we would see Jesus. That didn't mean that they just wanted to get a glance of him or just a little. They wanted to know him. They wanted to be introduced to him. They wanted to have an understanding, a connection with Jesus. I believe there was a spiritual longing in the hearts of these Grecians who came to the Lord. I'm sure they were not, the Greeks weren't expecting it, and the Jews weren't expecting for Jesus to say what he did about his hour and what he said to them in a somewhat of a parable when he said to them verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Jesus was talking about his death that was just a few days away. They were expecting him to set up his earthly kingdom. They were expecting him to put down the Roman tyranny and the Roman government and the armies of Rome, and they were expecting him to set up his kingdom and take charge. And that's what they wanted him to do. They had no real concept of the fact that Jesus was headed for the cross and that he was going to die on that cross. There's this real special and important message in this text that Jesus was letting them know that he didn't say, I'm going to be crucified. In this text, he said, I'm just about to be glorified. Jesus had been glorified or honored, esteemed in many different times. When his Father, Heavenly Father, spoke out of heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then on the Mount of Transfiguration, and also at this occasion here, he was glorified. How was Jesus glorified? He was glorified best whenever people came to know him, whenever people became children of God and followers of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this little group of Greeks that came to him represented what was getting ready to happen. I know we read there in the book of Acts about the house of Cornelius and how that the gospel was opened up there to the Gentiles. But actually, this is the first hint of what Jesus was going to be able to accomplish through his glorification. And not necessarily, he didn't mention the cross, he really mentions the product, the fruit of going to the cross. What was going to happen when he died? He said that except this corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, if it doesn't, then it's just going to abide alone. But if it is buried, then it is going to become something of great fruit. These Greeks were just a small little representation of the Gentiles of every tribe and nation and ethnic group and every race and color and creed all over the world, who up to that time were not a part. Jesus' ministry had pretty much been to the house of David. It had been to Israel. But now it was getting ready to change, and there was going to be an opening up of the gospel to everyone, whosoever will, regardless of their past, regardless of their nationality or their race or who they were. This was all going to be opening up to them, and it was going to happen because Jesus was going to go to the cross. Praise the Lord. He was going to go to the cross. And so Jesus was really speaking about his full purpose, his life purpose in coming into this world to provide hope and salvation for all of the world. That's the reason why in Hebrews 12 and 2 it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What was that joy? It was the fruit of the world having access to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ,
that caused him to be motivated to fulfill the will of the Father, who for the joy that was set before him, he understood his plan and he understood why that he was sent into the world. Praise God. Amen. This was to open up to everyone, a way for all of mankind to be saved. So while Jesus died and went to the cross, it was those who crucified him, the Romans and the Jews, who were guilty of killing Jesus. But the fact is, they didn't send him to the cross. They didn't have the power or the authority to crucify the Son of God. He laid his life down for the sins of all mankind. Glory to God. So men could be saved. And you notice in this text that it's the will of God that we follow the same pathway. It's the way of fruitfulness. Jesus went to the grave. He was talking about himself when he said that little seed, that corn of wheat that is placed in the ground, he was talking about himself. And he was saying that when that seed is placed in the ground, then it will bring forth fruit. It will bring forth fruit. When it falls into the ground, it dies. It abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And he was describing what was going to happen because of his laying down of his life to provide a means of salvation for the whole world. Glory to God. And so that's the reason why that we pray for missionaries and that we do evangelistic work and we invest our ministry in touching the lives of the unsaved. And we pray for them because we are in step with the plan of God doing the will of the Father. Amen. Glory to God. Now, when someone is buried, that's usually we think of that as being the end, except for those who die in the Lord. It's because of the resurrection. We understand that when they're buried, that they are not just buried. They're not going to be buried and forgotten, but they are going to live again. That's the hope that we have in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But there's also a spiritual lesson for us all to understand and to learn from following in the steps of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That the grain of corn, the seed, must fall into the ground. It's the will of God. It's the path that Jesus has set before every one of us. And that is a pathway of death. It is a pathway of sacrifice. It is a pathway of laying down your own life, of surrender and sacrifice and giving of yourself to Him and to His will so that there can be fruit in your life. If you want to live a fruitful life for Christ, then you have to be willing to die out to yourself. You have to be willing to lay down your life. You have to be willing to be that seed that is planted so that it can bring forth fruit. Here, someone penned this little poem, "There is no gain but by loss. You cannot save but by a cross. The corn of wheat is to multiply. Must fall into the ground and die." You want your life to be a life of fruitfulness. You want it to multiply. You want to see the blessing of the Lord at work in your life. You see, there's a misconception that's being promoted many places across our land and all over the world. It's a philosophy that says that God wants you to be rich. He wants you to have everything. He wants to bless you with everything that you could ever possibly have. He wants to give you all these wonderful benefits and blessings. And God just wants to bless you. And there never is the mention of the fact that the pathway to that blessing is yourself. It's not exalting yourself. It's not claiming that you are worthy and that you deserve it. That's being promoted. That's being preached from pulpits across this country. You deserve it. You deserve every good thing. You deserve it. We don't deserve anything. We deserve the judgment of God. But God has provided a pathway for us, and it's the pathway of our own death. Our own willingness to lay down our own life. You want to have a fruitful life? You want to bear much fruit in your life? Then be willing to lay down all of your plans, all that you think is important, everything that you have set out to try to do and accomplish, and yield yourself, your life, and your future to the Lord. Amen. Philippians 3 and 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. How can it be possible that we can talk about the resurrection, which is a victorious message? How can it be in the same verse that we are to be made conformable unto his death and to his sufferings? Because if you want to be something and do something in the kingdom of God, if you want to bear fruit, you have to be willing to be crucified. You have to be willing to die and to die out to yourself, so that you will not just be buried, but that you will be truly planted of the Lord. And when you're planted of the Lord, sometimes it's a dark and a difficult thing. When the seed is cast into the ground, it's dark. And you are buried into the darkness. Sometimes we go through dark and difficult circumstances. Sometimes we go through a personal death, not physically, but just a death of our dreams, a death of our plans, a death of our ambitions. Sometimes the way things that we thought would work out don't work out the way we expected that they would, and we have this death of our anticipation and our plans. But yet it's necessary. Anyone that's ever done anything for Christ has had to die out to themselves. We must die to ourselves. We have to die to our own desires and our own plans, and submit ourselves to the willingness to die. Paul also said in Galatians 2 and 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. The only way to really live is to put your life in the hands of the Lord. Give it all to him. Yield yourself to him. You have wishes and plans and desires. Nothing wrong with that. But I want you to know that God's plans and his ways and the things he wants to do and accomplish through you are much, much greater than you could ever dream of. His plan is so much more wonderful. And so submit yourself. Die out to your own anticipation and your own plans and your own desires. Yeah, it may be a dark period of time when you're planted in the soil and you're covered up and you're trodden under the feet of men. You go through things, you suffer things, you experience troubles and reverses and all kinds of situations. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. The message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a message that reminds us that he wants us to yield ourselves to a personal crucifixion, a personal death, a personal dying out. See, the seed of the corn of the wheat, the seed is very, very small, very, very small. And your life is just like that seed. It's very, very small, but it has great power and great potential. But it's never realized until you yield yourself without any reserve to the Lord. If you don't dedicate yourself to the will of God and surrender yourself to him, withholding nothing from him, if you don't do that, you'll never realize all the things that God wants to do with that little seed. Once it's buried and it begins to come to life, and you realize that God can use you only if you are willing to yield yourself completely to the Lord. So this morning I want to challenge you, let go. Just let go. All the things that you think are important, let go of those things. Turn away from those things. They're not important. You need to die out to those things. All of those things are going to hinder you and keep you from becoming all that God wants you to be. Die out to those things.
Amen. Glory to God. And let the Lord begin to work in your life. When you are buried in Him, you are covered, you're in darkness, you're surrounded by dirt. There's a lot of circumstances and troubles you can go through. Every Christian has seasons of your life that it is tough, it's difficult, you don't understand what's going on. You're in darkness, you don't understand it. Sometimes you even face persecution and problems and troubles. You do not understand it, but God is working in you. God is working in you. And the outer part of that seed, the hull of that seed, once it begins to decay and rot in the dirt, then the life of that seed then is exposed and can begin to grow. But we have to die first. We have to die out to the things of this world. A lot of times there are darkness, unpleasant circumstances, things that we wish that we didn't have to go through. It's a process of dying. It's a process of dying out to things that we think are important and sometimes to our own dreams. Wonderful Bible example of this is Joseph, who had received visions of his future and what he was going to do and what he was going to become. But instead, Joseph is betrayed by his own brothers, hated by them. He's sold into slavery. He is then lied upon by Potiphar's wife. Thrown in prison. So he spends years and years going through the darkness and all the things. Joseph was dying out to his own desires and his own dreams and dying out to all of those things. But God was preparing him for the day. After all those years in a prison, falsely accused, suffering in a prison, Joseph one day is called out of that place. One day Joseph's called out of that grave, and he realized later that my enemies did this and thought this, that they were destroying me. He thought it was for my destruction, but God meant it for my good and for the saving of my family and the saving of all of Israel. God was preparing me. God was preparing Joseph in this terrible circumstance. Before long, Joseph is the one that is second in control. He is the man that has all these chariots and men running in front of him whenever he came through town. He became elevated. He became honored. He became fruitful. And God used him for the preservation of Egypt and of his own family. Praise God. But it's a lot of years of dying. A lot of years of dying out to his own ambition and his own desire. Some of you may be right now in kind of a dark place and you're wondering what's going on. I got to thinking about this topic when I read this quote the other day, Brother Darrell. Sometimes when you're in a dark place, you think you've been buried when you have actually been planted. Isn't that good? You think that it's over. You think that everything is over for you. But the reality is, God is going to use your darkness and your trouble and the things that you don't understand. He's going to use this in your life. You have been planted of the Lord. And if you'll just trust Him through the darkness and through the struggle of your circumstance, if you'll just trust Him, God has planted you, and that seed will begin to bear much fruit. And that's the message of our Lord in this topic to those that were listening to Him, the Jews and the Greeks. The Greeks were just the beginning of those Gentiles that were going to be saved all over the world. That was just the beginning, but He had to go the way of the cross. He had to be buried, and His burial was really for the divine purpose of Him coming forth out of that tomb alive and providing resurrection hope for everyone whosoever believes. So now whenever we place our loved ones who die in the Lord in the grave, we know that's not the end. We know it's not the end. We have a hope in the future because we know that they're not in that grave. We believe in the resurrection. It is a personal thing to us. We know that our loved ones that die in the Lord, that they are very much alive. I love what Billy Graham said whenever, early on, he said, whenever one of these days you're going to hear in the news that Billy Graham has died, don't you believe it. He said, I'm going to be more alive then than I've ever been. That's the hope that we all have. And I don't know the darkness, the trouble, the worry that you're in here today, but I just know that in the dark place that you might be, you need to be reminded of the fact that God can use your trouble, your adversity, your dark circumstance to work in you, to produce something in your life, to use you for a purpose and for a reason. God can use it. Hudson Taylor, famous missionary to China, and we know about his accomplishments. We know all the things that he did. There was something like over 300 missionaries that he brought to China, trained them, and left a legacy there that continues to this day. We know about the fact that there were literally thousands of Chinese that were converted through his ministry. We also know that Hudson Taylor never asked for money. He's famous for saying, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. Amen. So we know all these wonderful things about Hudson Taylor, but do we know how much he suffered? Do we know about that? Do we know that he buried two wives in China and six children in China? His own health collapsed. He had to go back to England for a period of time. I think it was a couple of years, a year and a half, 2 years, to recover his strength and his health before he could go back and continue the work. He was beaten and robbed so many times, and several of the times that he was robbed, they took everything he had. He had nothing left. One time they took everything that he had except a few theological books that he had. And he had nothing. And the very next day, some people came along and they said, we really want to buy those books from you. It's all he had. But he sold those books just to sustain himself for a little longer. He was beaten. He was robbed. He was arrested one time. He was beaten so severely, he was nearly choked to death one time. He suffered. We hear one side, the fruitfulness, the blessing, but we oftentimes don't pay much attention to the fact of all of the things that he suffered, all the darkness, all the challenge, all the difficulty, all the dying out that he experienced, the troubles and the failures and the sickness and the loss of his family and all these things that he went through. But that was his crucifixion. That was his dying out to himself. That was his determination to do the will of God in that place. His father and mother, when he was born, they prayed over him, Lord, raise him up to be a young man who will go to China and carry the gospel there. Wow. His whole life, destiny, and purpose was set by God and the purpose of God. And he never turned away from that, even through the suffering. But God is able to even use the darkness of our burial and our planting and our suffering that we go through, the dark times that we do not understand, he's able to use those to produce something in us, to make us fruitful. Amen. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's what the Apostle Paul said. The Apostle Paul probably couldn't have understood, may not have understood why that he spent all that time in prison, all of those years that he spent locked up, but it was during that time that he penned more than half of the New Testament. And all of those letters that went out, those prison letters that went out, that are we read and we glean from the truths of those inspired words. All these many years later, he suffered a lot, but his life was fruitful and blessed. Amen. Glory to God. Do you want a life of much fruit? Then surrender. Give it up. Give it to Jesus. Just surrender everything to him and make your life the purpose of God. Understand, the enemy wants to make you think this is the end. When you're going through the severest of trials, he wants you to think, it's over, my future, it's over. There's no place for me in the kingdom of God. There's nothing that God could ever do with me. Oh, he's such a big liar. It's just not the truth. The truth is, God is you right where you are right now. And if you'll yield to him, he'll produce something in you wonderful. Amen. And the hull of that seed will rot and fall off, and nothing but the fruitfulness will be left. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Father, thank you for the hope of the resurrection that we have. Thank you, Lord, that in this life, Lord, you have promised to us, Lord, that you have a divine purpose in everything that's going on. Lord, we know we are the planted of the Lord. We have been planted of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have placed us where we are. And sometimes it is a challenge. Sometimes we don't see or understand what's going on. But Lord, just as Jesus went to the cross, just as he suffered all that he suffered, so that a few days later he could come out of that grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And now today we rejoice in resurrection hope because of that. So is it true that God is working in all of our lives and even in our dark circumstances. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.